They haled me out, though I was hardly able to stand, and put me into the stacks, where I sat some hours, and they brought dog whips and horse whips, threatening to whip me. After some time, they had me before the magistrate at a knight's house, where were many great persons, who, seeing how evilly I had been used, after much threatening, set me at liberty. But the rude people stoned me out of the town for preaching the word of life to them. I was scarcely able to move or stand by reason of the ill usage I had received. Yet, with considerable effort, I got about a mile from the town, and then I met with some people who gave me something to comfort me, because I was inwardly bruised, but the Lord's power soon healed me again. That day some people were convinced of the Lord's truth and turned to his teaching, at which I rejoiced. Then I went into Leicestershire, several friends accompanying me. They were some Baptists in that country, whom I desired to see and speak with, because they were separated from the public worship. So one Oates, who was one of their chief teachers, and others of the heads of them, with several others of their company, came to meet us at Barrow, and there we discoursed with them. One of them said that what was not of faith was sin, whereupon I asked them what faith was and how it was wrought in man. But they turned off from that and spoke of their baptism in water. Then I asked them whether their mountain of sin was brought down and laid low in them, and their rough and crooked ways made smooth and straight in them, for they looked upon the scriptures as meaning outward mountains and ways. Footnote 54. As everywhere, he is interested in the state of the person himself, and in the real and vital things of religion. Many of Fox's followers came from the Baptists. But I told them they must find these things in their own hearts, at which they seemed to wonder. We asked them who baptized John the Baptist, and who baptized Peter, John, and the rest of the apostles, and put them to prove by Scripture that these were baptized in water, but they were silent. Then I asked them, seeing Judas, who betrayed Christ and was called the son of perdition, had hanged himself, what son of perdition was that of which Paul spoke, that sat in the temple of God, exalted above all that is called God? And what temple of God was that in which this son of perdition sat? And I asked them whether he that betrays Christ within himself be not one in nature with that Judas that betrayed Christ without. But they could not tell what to make of this, nor what to say to it. So after some discourse we parted, and some of them were loving to us. On the first day following, we came to Bagworth and went to a steeple house, where some friends were got in, and the people locked them in, and themselves too, with the priest. But after the priest had done, they opened the door, and we went in also, and had service for the Lord amongst them. Afterward we had a meeting in the town amongst several that were in high notions. Passing thence, I heard of a people in prison at Coventry for religion. As I walked towards the jail, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, My love was always to thee, and thou art in my love. And I was ravished with the sense of the love of God, and greatly strengthened in my inward man. But when I came into the jail where those prisoners were, a great power of darkness struck at me, and I sat still, having my spirit gathered into the love of God. At last these prisoners began to rant, vapor, and blaspheme, at which my soul was greatly grieved. They said that they were God, but we could not bear such things. When they were calm, I stood up and asked them whether they did such things by motion or from Scripture. They said, from Scripture. Then a Bible lying by, I asked them for that Scripture, and they showed me that place where the sheet was let down to Peter. And it was said to him that what was sanctified he should not call common or unclean. When I had showed them that that Scripture made nothing for their purpose, they brought another, which spake of God's reconciling all things to himself, things in heaven and things in earth. I told them I owned that Scripture also, but showed them that it likewise was nothing to their purpose. Then, seeing they said that they were God, I asked them if they knew whether it would rain tomorrow. They said they could not tell. I told them God could tell. I asked them if they thought they should be always in that condition or should change. They answered that they could not tell. Then said I, God can tell, and he doth not change. You say you are God, and yet you cannot tell whether you shall change or no. So they were confounded and quite brought down for the time. After I had reproved them for their blasphemous expressions, I went away, for I perceived they were ranters. I had met with none before, and I admired the goodness of the Lord in appearing so unto me before I went amongst them. Not long after this, one of these ranters, whose name was Joseph Salmon, published a recantation, upon which they were set at liberty. Chapter 4, A Year in Derby Prison, 1650-1651. As I traveled through markets, fairs, and diverse places, I saw death and darkness in all people, where the power of the Lord God had not shaken them. As I was passing on in Leicestershire, I came to Twy Cross, where there were excise men. I was moved by the Lord to go to them and warn them to take heed of oppressing the poor, and people were much affected with it. There was in that town a great man that had long lain sick, and was given up by the physicians, and some friends in the town desired me to go to see him. I went up to his chamber and spoke the word of life to him, and was moved to pray by him, and the Lord was entreated and restored him to health. But when I was come downstairs into a lower room, and was speaking to the servants and to some people that were there, a serving man of his came raving out of another room with a naked rapier in his hand, and set it just to my side. I looked steadfastly on him and said, Alack for thee, poor creature, what wilt thou do with thy carnal weapon? It is no more to me than a straw. The bystanders were much troubled, and he went away in a rage and full of wrath. But when the news of it came to his master, he turned him out of his service. Thus the Lord's power preserved me and raised up the weak man, who afterwards were very loving to friends. And when I came to that town again, both he and his wife came to see me. After this, I was moved to go into Derbyshire, where the mighty power of God was among friends. And I went to Chesterfield, where one Britland was priest. He saw beyond the common sort of priests, for he had been partly convinced, and had spoken much on behalf of truth before he was priest there. But when the priest of that town died, he got the parsonage, and choked himself with it. I was moved to speak to him and the people in the great love of God, that they might come off from all men's teaching unto God's teaching, and he was not able to gainsay. But they had me before the mayor, and threatened to send me with some others to the house of correction, and kept us in custody till it was late in the night. Then the officers with the watchmen put us out of the town, leaving us to shift as we could. So I bent my course towards Derby, having a friend or two with me. In our way we met with many professors, and at Kidsey Park many were convinced. Then coming to Derby, I lay at the house of a doctor whose wife was convinced, and so were several more in the town. As I was walking in my chamber, the steeple house bell rang, and it struck at my life at the very hearing of it. So I asked the woman of the house what the bell rang for. She said there was to be a great lecture there that day, and many of the officers of the army and priests and preachers were to be there, and a colonel that was a preacher. Then was I moved of the Lord to go up to them, and when they had done, I spoke to them what the Lord commanded me, and they were pretty quiet. But there came an officer and took me by the hand and said that I and the other two that were with me must go before the magistrates. It was about the first hour after noon that we came before them. They asked me why we came thither. I said, God moved us to do so, and I told them, God dwells not in temples made with hands. I told them also that all their preaching, baptism, and sacrifices would never sanctify them. and bade them look into Christ within them, and not unto men, for it is Christ that sanctifies. Then they ran into many words, but I told them they were not to dispute of God and Christ, but to obey him. Footnote 55. No single sentence better sums up George Fox's whole theology than this. I told them they were not to dispute of God and Christ, but to obey him. The power of God thundered among them, and they did fly like chaff before it. They put me in and out of the room often, hurrying me backward and forward, for they were from the first hour till the ninth at night in examining me. Sometimes they would tell me in a deriding manner that I was taken up in raptures. At last they asked me whether I was sanctified. I answered, "Yes, for I am in the paradise of God." Then they asked me if I had no sin. I answered, "Christ my Savior has taken away my sin, and in him there is no sin." They asked how we knew that Christ did abide in us. I said, "By his Spirit that he hath given us." Then temptingly asked if any of us were Christ. I answered, "Nay, we are nothing. Christ is all." They said, "If a man steal, is it no sin?" I answered, "All unrighteousness is sin." Footnote 56. These answers sufficiently differentiate George Fox from the ranchers. When they had worried themselves in examining me, they committed me and one other man to the House of Correction in Derby for 6 months as blasphemers, as may appear by the mittimus, a copy whereof here follow. Footnote 57. Here begins Fox's first serious imprisonment. The charge was direct and distinct. He was committed as a blasphemer. Under the law passed by both Houses of Parliament in 1648, Fox might easily have been condemned to suffer a death penalty. It was an offense punishable by death to deny that the Scriptures are the Word of God, or that the bodies of men shall rise after they are dead. It was blasphemy to say that the two sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper are not commanded by God. It was also blasphemy to declare that man has by nature free will to turn to God. It was, of course, not difficult to find a charge of the violation of this Dragnet Act. From Derby Prison he wrote many letters to the magistrates, to the justices, to the priest, to the court at Derby, to the mayor, to the individual justices, and to the ringer of bells and steeple houses. He called them all to obedience to the light within them. Mind that which is eternal and invisible. Keep in the innocency and be obedient to the faith in him. To the Master of the House of Correction in Derby, reading. We have sent you here with all the bodies, George Fox, late of Mansfield in the county of Nottingham, and John Fretwell, late of Stanisby, in the county of Derby, husbandman, brought before us this present day and charged with the avowed uttering and broaching of diverse blasphemous opinions, contrary to the late Act of Parliament, which upon their examination before us they have confessed. These are therefore to require you forthwith, upon sight hereof, to receive them, the said George Fox and John Fretwell, into your custody, and them therein safely to keep during the space of 6 months, without bail or main prize, or until they shall find sufficient security to be of good behavior, or be thence delivered by order from ourselves. Hereof you are not to fail, given under our hands and seals this 30th day of October 1650. Gervase Bennett, Nathan Barton. While I was here in prison, diverse professors came to discourse with me. I had a sense before they spoke that they came to plead for sin and imperfection. I asked them whether they were believers and had faith. They said, yes. I asked them, in whom? They said, in Christ. I replied, if ye are true believers in Christ, you are passed from death to life, and if passed from death, then from sin that bringeth death. And if your faith be true, it will give you victory over sin and the devil. Purify your hearts and consciences. for the true faith is held in a pure conscience, and bring you to please God and give you access to Him again. But they could not endure to hear of purity and of victory over sin and the devil. They said they could not believe any could be free from sin on this side of the grave. I bade them give over babbling about the scriptures, which were holy men's words, whilst they pleaded for unholiness. At another time, a company of professors came who also began to plead for sin. I asked them whether they had hope. They said, yes, God forbid, but we should have hope. I asked them, what hope is it that you have? Is Christ in you the hope of your glory? Doth it purify you as He is pure? But they could not abide to hear of being made pure here. Then I bade them forbear talking of the scriptures, which were the holy men's words. For, said I, the holy men that wrote the scriptures pleaded for holiness in heart, life, and conversation here. But since you plead for impurity and sin, which is of the devil, what have you to do with the holy men's words? Of the prison, being a high professor, was greatly enraged against me, and spoke very wickedly of me. But it pleased the Lord one day to strike him, so that he was in great trouble and under much terror of mind. And as I was walking in my chamber, I heard a doleful noise, and standing still, I heard him say to his wife, Wife, I have seen the day of judgment, and I saw George there, and I was afraid of him, because I had done him so much wrong, and spoken so much against him to the ministers and professors, and to the justices, and in the taverns and alehouses. After this, towards the evening, he came into my chamber and said to me, I have been as a lion against you, but now I come like a lamb, and like the jailer that came to Paul and Silas, trembling. And he desired he might lodge with me. I told him I was in his power, he might do what he would. But he said, nay, that he would have my leave, and that he could desire to be always with me, but not to have me as a prisoner. He said he had been plagued, and his house had been plagued for my sake, so I suffered him to lodge with me. Then he told me all his heart, and said that he believed what I had said of the true faith, and hoped to be true. And he wondered that the other man, who was put in prison with me, did not stand it, and said, that man was not right, but you are an honest man. He confessed also to me that at those times when I had asked him to let me go forth to speak the word of the Lord to the people, when he refused to let me go, and I laid the weight thereof upon him, he used to be under great trouble, amazed and almost distracted for some time after, and in such a condition that he had little strength left him. When the morning came, he rose and went to the justices, and told them that he and his house had been plagued for my sake. One of the justices replied, as he reported to me, that the plagues were upon them too for keeping me. This was Justice Bennett of Derby, who was the first that called us Quakers, because I bade them tremble at the word of the Lord. Footnote 58. This is the whole of our data for the origin of the name Quaker. Fox told the justice to tremble at the word of the Lord, and the justice thereupon fixed the name Quaker upon him. There is probably, however, something back of this particular incident which helped give the name significance. The editors of the New English Dictionary, see the word Quaker, have discovered the fact that this name for a religious sect was not entirely new at this time. Letter number 2624 of the Clarendon Collection, written in 1647, speaks of a sect from the continent possessed of a remarkable capacity for trembling or quaking. I hear of a sect of women, they are at Southwark, come from beyond the sea, called Quakers, and these swell, shiver, and shake, and when they come to themselves, for in all this fit, Mahomet's Holy Ghost hath been conversing with them. They begin to preach what hath been delivered.